Ephesians chapter number 2. So I'll stand together. Ephesians chapter number 2. In verse number 8, if you're wondering, Pastor is in Connecticut with Brother Townsley preaching there for them. And he's going to be coming back in a couple days. He'll be here on Wednesday night service. And but pray for him. Pray for God to use him. I know he's busy today preaching a lot. And so pray for God to use him and him be a blessing to them. Ephesians chapter number 2, let's all read it together, verse number 8 and 9. Ready, begin. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let's pray. Dear and Father, Lord, simple message this morning, but a powerful truth that you gave us. And I pray that somebody here that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that they wouldn't daydream during the service. Lord, I pray they'd stay alert because what I'm about to share with them this morning is extremely, extremely important and something that shouldn't be just let go of or forgotten about, but something that should be very serious in their life. I pray you'd use it this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm glad that that verse says that it's not by my works that I get to heaven. It's not by the things that I do, because I don't know about you, but there's nothing that I can do to get to heaven. I make mistakes. Raise your hand if you make mistakes a lot, all right? Okay, wow, a lot of hands, all right? It's like a sea of hands up everywhere. It's pretty easy for us to admit we're not perfect, all right? We make mistakes. We probably woke up this morning and we're yelling at our kids or something, and we already made a mistake this morning. We're not perfect, and I'm thankful that God didn't say the only way to get to heaven was if you're a perfect person or if you've got it all put together. Or if you think you're a special somebody, there's only a select few that I've chosen. I'm glad God did not say that was how we get to heaven. Because I hate to say it to you, but I don't maybe know some of you personally, but I know that you're a sinner. And I know you could not get to heaven based upon how good you are. Now, we should be good. We should treat others kindly. We should be like Jesus. Those are good things to do. But that is not, if you read the Bible, that is not what the Bible says. If you believe the Bible, would you say amen? Amen. If you believe the Bible, I believe the Bible, then whatever is in the Bible, pretty simply, we what? We believe it. I believe everything that's in the Bible. So whatever God tells me from Scripture, I'm going to do the best that I can to obey it, and I'm going to trust Him with whatever He has in Scripture for me. He said, for by grace are you saved. For by grace. All the imperfections that I have in my life, all the sin, I'm thankful that God has showed me grace and God has showed you grace so that we have a chance, we have an opportunity to be able to get to heaven. But just because God showed you grace and just because He showed me grace doesn't mean everybody's going to heaven. There is something that you have to do. Well, it's not much. But God does want you a part, something for you to do. And it's very easy. It's very simple. And I'm going to talk about this morning. I remember when I was a kid growing up, going soul winning with my dad. Soul winning, if you don't know, is at church here. We go knock on doors and we invite people to church and tell them about our church and try to get them to come here. But also, I'd hear my dad all the time ask people if they knew for sure they were going to heaven or if they knew at all or if they're 50% sure. I would hear him say it all the time. And my dad, I didn't know this at that moment because I was too young, but at 4 years old, my dad had told me how I could get to heaven. And supposedly at 4 years old, I had did that with him. But at 7 years old, I didn't remember it. I forgot about it. And I didn't have any recollection of it. And I remember my brother who was 5 and I'm 7. We're back behind my dad. My dad's talking to people. We're going door to door. My dad's asking that question a lot. We'd go week after week after week after week with my dad and just invite people to church. Tell them about, ask them, do they know for sure they're going to heaven when they die? It's the most important thing that you could know. It's more important than your job. And I remember hearing that. And I remember me and my brother looking at each other and whispering to each other. We're walking to the next door with my dad, and we're always behind him. He's leading the way, and we're just like, you know, two little kids just following my dad all the time, going soul winning. I remember us kind of just whispering back to each other, do you know the answer? No one gave us the answer at any of these doors. Everyone, you know, had the wrong answer. And we're kind of back and forth like, do you know the answer? I don't know the answer. How do you get to heaven? I thought we were all going to heaven, you know? And we're just scratching it. And my dad was walking a few doors, and I think he was entertaining it because I knew he could hear us. But he just like kept going, kept knocking doors. Finally, he'd heard enough. He kept hearing us ask this question. Man, we couldn't get off our mind. Me and my brother are the type of people that, I mean, from the time we were young, that when we can't remember something, everything else stops. And we are going to figure that out. Like if someone's name, I can't remember a particular person's name. I mean, I will text the whole world. Find somebody who can remember that person's name because I can't move on to the next thing until anybody else like that where you're just like, you just get itches and you're just like, what is it? And it's just in the back of your mind. You know the answer, but that part of the brain just ain't clicking at the moment. And you need some, you know, help. And you're like, bring everybody. I need help. Help me figure this out. That's me. All right, I'm like that. So if you want to get on my nerves, just really bring up something that maybe is I'm going to struggle with. But that was me and my brother. We just kept, man, both of us were just struggling. When we're together, man, it's like, and you hear us, when there's something that we both can't remember. And it's like, right there, we just, man, it's. I'm sure it's entertaining for people just to watch us, what we'll go through to figure out what that answer is. But my dad finally stopped, turned around to us and said, boys, do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? And we both just didn't know. And I remember my dad saying, all right, we're done. We're not going to knock any more doors. Let's go back to the car. And I remember my dad opening up the Bible and showing me some Bible verses very simply as a seven-year-old boy, and I got saved. Now, my brother won't claim that day as the day he got saved because he was five, and when he got older, he didn't really remember it. And he claimed it when he was a teenager that's when he truly got saved at teen camp. But at 7 years old, that was the day my dad opened up the Bible. And as a seven-year-old boy, I don't think I'm preaching to anybody who's seven. Everyone's older than seven today. If a seven-year-old boy could understand from the Bible what God's plan is for how you can easily get saved, and I could do it at 7 years old, you could do it. Anybody could do it. That's the way God intended it to be. I remember going knocking on doors. And I've heard plenty. I could have put many answers in here for this, but if you've ever knocked on doors and asked that question, you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. You'll hear people say yes, and then they'll give you an answer. And I hear a lot of wrong answers, not by what I think, but based upon what the Bible says. It's wrong compared to what the Bible says. And I heard a young man, and he said, yes, I know. And I said, really, how do you know that? Like, what do you base that on? And he said, well, I remember when I was in junior high, I wasn't the strongest kid. There was this one bully that wanted to come beat me up, and he was coming. And he was coming after me, and he was going to come beat me up. And he said, and out of nowhere, this other big kid came and beat that kid up for me. That was the day that God entered into my life, and I know I'm going to heaven now. Man, I hadn't heard that one before. That was a new one for me. I enjoy getting to know these here stories and stuff, but that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. If you're basing it off of some experience, oh, I saw a light. I'm sorry. You won't find in Scripture where it says, oh, you saw a light. You won't find that. Oh, I had this. There's one specific way of what God said. God said there's one door into heaven. One way. There are all these different religions out there that will teach you all their ways of what they think. I'm not here to tell you what I think. Because I just admitted to you earlier, I'm like you and we make mistakes. We're humans. I'd rather know what God has to say than what I have to say. First, salvation is conceived in the mind. I read somewhere from a pastor recently. He said there are at least five people involved in our salvation. Five people, all right? He said, first of all, salvation is conceived in the mind of God. It says in Galatians 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Second, salvation was completed by Christ, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Next week, we'll celebrate his resurrection from that day. Third, salvation is continued by the Spirit. John 16 says, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they believe not on me of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Fourth, salvation is contested by Satan. If there's somebody in this world that does not want you to get saved and go to heaven, it's Satan. He will do everything you can this morning to make sure you won't hear what I have to say. He'll make sure that you're daydreaming. Like I just prayed, the reason why I prayed a second ago for you not to daydream is because it's very easy in a class setting, in a service, to start thinking about something else. And you know who else this morning, when the devil hears that we're preaching on salvation, how you can get to heaven, he's going to do everything he can to get in your mind right now, to not hear what's about to be preached. Don't let him win. If that's you here this morning, you want the answer, then please pay attention this morning. I've got something that's extremely important for you to hear. Salvation is contested by Satan. In the parable of the sower, Jesus said, "When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart." And finally, salvation is confessed by the believer. That's me and you. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth," that's talking about me and you, "the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Number one this morning, salvation is simple. Salvation is simple. You say, what is salvation? Salvation is getting saved from a horrible place called hell. Hell is a place of fire. It's eternal. It's forever burning, screaming, gnashing of teeth. A place that you don't, any normal human being would not want to go to. And God has given us a way to be saved from that, called salvation, up to heaven. Salvation is simple. God made it simple so that everybody can do it. Everything, I wrote this down, everything has gone up in price except salvation. It is still a free gift paid in full by Jesus. Hallelujah for that. There's no inflation on that. Come on now. Getting into heaven is easy. It's just like walking through a door. The Bible said, Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Even a child can open a door. Amen. Even your children can get saved. Several times I've seen the gospel tracts of, how many of you have ever seen the ABCs of salvation? You ever seen those before? ABCs says, all have sinned. A, all have sinned. B, believe on the Lord Jesus, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And C is confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. ABCs of salvation. It's not some big old huge book that you have to read to figure it out. It's not some religious practice that you got to do. It's not all these good things where you've got to earn it. You got to go and confess things. You got to go to a priest. It's not that. That all may sound good, but that's not what the Bible says. Dr. Ford Porter, years ago, wrote the famous little tract, God's Simple Plan of Salvation. He ordered 2,000 by faith and began to give them out. He began to pray that God would bless the tract to the salvation of many souls. The supply was soon exhausted. Another order was placed. Now millions and millions have gone out in more than 60 languages and in Braille. The testimonies of thousands of conversions are recorded in Dr. Porter's files. The simplicity of the tract is surely one of the factors of its greatness. I read of a well-known independent Baptist preacher told about Dr. Thomas Altizer, the Episcopalian pastor teaching at Emory University in Atlanta. He came to the University of Delaware for a lecture on the God is dead theory. The Baptist pastor went to hear what he had to say. And as far as he could tell, this pastor, of the Episcopalian pastor, his goal was to impress people with intellectualism. He used a great number of high-sounding phrases and quite a few $100 words. When he had completed his discourse, the Baptist pastor, was disgusted. And he went up front and gave this Episcopalian pastor a copy of Dr. Porter's tract, God's Simple Plan of Salvation. He needed to be reminded of how simple it was. It has nothing to do with how smart I am and how smart you are or how great we are. It has everything to do with what God did for us and how simple he made it for us. If someone gave you a book that had a $5 bill in it, that book, that $5 would be yours when you receive it. Correct? It'd be yours when you receive it. Christ is the book. Salvation is that $5. And when you receive Christ, you're receiving salvation. You're, in that moment, you're going from a place called hell to a place called, say it with me, heaven. There's no greater moment in your life than that day right there. We only get a short time here on earth. Say the Lord gives you 75 years. What is that like if you were to make a scale of eternity? Obviously, a scale of eternity would just never end. How small would 75 years look on that? Oh, we think 75 years is a long time. But compared to eternity, it's nothing. What you think is important here on earth is not important. What's important is your eternity. Where will you go? Would you rather be in heaven? Would you rather be in hell? Number two, salvation is by trusting, not by doing. Salvation is by trusting, not by doing. There are two religions, if you will, out there. You've got many religions that teach one way in different ways. And what they're teaching you is how by joining a church or giving, offering prayers, and a thousand other things that you can do to get to heaven. And then there's churches like Blessed Hope Baptist Church that teach simply what the Bible teaches about accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's a one-time thing. I've heard people say, oh, yeah, I've prayed many times. Many times. And yeah, oh, yeah, I've done it all. I do it every day. I do that. No, it's a one-time thing. One day in your life that you remember. It's the day that you were born again. You had your physical birth, and then there was the day, the moment that you were born again. Salvation is by trusting. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works as any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Third, salvation is through Christ, not a church. So you're not going to get to heaven by Blessed Hope Baptist Church. By coming to church here, you say, you know what? I'm making the decision. I'm going to go to church every single Sunday. Is that a great decision? Absolutely, it's a great decision. God agrees with that decision. But that is not going to get you into heaven. That's a way to receive blessings from the Lord and how God can help you in your life. But that is not how you're going to take care of your eternity up in heaven. Salvation is through Christ. One preacher said that the Roman Catholic folks claim to have the keys that were given to Peter. Well, he said, let them have the keys. We have the door. Amen. God gave you the door. God said, just open it. It's all you got to do. He said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Paul preached the same truth, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Thank God for the door. You think these religions want to make salvation so complicated, how you can get to heaven. I think of the thief on the cross. Boy, when I get to heaven, I want to find that fella. I was going to say, man, how'd that shake out for you? Man, how did that work? I mean, that's what the angel must have asked him when he got to heaven. They must have said, what are you doing here? I don't know. No, what are you doing here? Like, I don't know. No, what are you doing here? I don't know. And let me get my supervisor. So they go get the supervisor angel. The super angel comes out there and, all right, we've got a few questions for you. Are you clear on the doctrine of justification by faith? I've never heard of it a day in my life. Scripture, did you read your Bible every day? Did you understand all the doctrines of Scripture? Did you understand that? Did you make sure everything was taken? He's looking at him confused, staring at him. Finally, out of frustration, the angel's like, what are you basing your reason for coming here? I imagine his answer was like, the man on the cross in the middle said I could come. That's the only answer. That is the only answer. It's not by what you do. It is by Christ and what he did for you and for me. It's because he was resurrected from the grave. He's alive today. We don't serve a dead God. He's a risen Savior today. He's alive today. You can pray to him. You're not praying to a dead God. I'm thankful for a Savior who is alive today, who knows what I'm going through and can help me get through my tough times because I accepted him as my Savior. Listen today, if you're not saved today, you can pray all you want and ask the Lord to help you and bless you in your life. But until you become a child of God, he is not going to be there for you every step of the way. God told you, I have got a gift of salvation. And when you receive that gift, you become my child and nobody, you're in my hand and no one can pluck you out. I'm thankful for that. Just because I got saved doesn't mean I'm perfect from that moment on. The Bible says that sin can't get into heaven. So Jesus died on the cross because he could take away my sin. I can't take away your sin because I'm a sinner just like you. What can I do? Your kids, they can't take each other's punishment when they get in trouble for the same thing. Hey, Dad, let me get in trouble. Let my brother, just let him go. Just let me take the punishment, Dad. That never worked, all right? Why? Because we both did wrong. We both deserve punishment. We both got in trouble. We both have got ourselves in trouble here on earth. We need help. Jesus stepped in, paid that cost, paid for that punishment of going to hell. And now you have a gift given to you. What happens at Christmas time if you don't open those gifts? Did they ever become yours? You got to receive that gift. You've got to open that gift. And that gift becomes yours. Number four, salvation is eternal, not temporary. It's eternal, not temporary. What a blessed joy to be eternally saved. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Jesus said, my sheep, those are Christians. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become a sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. John 3:16 emphasizes that our salvation is everlasting. Peter speaks of Christians as those who are kept by the power of God. 2 Corinthians 1:10 says, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. We have been delivered and are being delivered and will be delivered. Come on now. You say, well, why are you reading so much scripture this morning? Because I told you earlier, I don't want you to hear from me. I don't want to give you what I think. I'm giving you what the Bible says, and it's pretty easy to understand. It's pretty easy. It's not hard. If I just read scripture to you this morning, you'll start to understand what it takes. Salvation, lastly, brings a change. Salvation brings a change. I don't know about you, but if you're here today and you're not saved, I can promise you, you're looking for hope. There's a reason why you're in church today, because you're looking for something different than what you've got going on. I told in my class earlier that I invited a young man yesterday to church. I was at a store, invited him to church. I've run into him quite a few times and just invited him to church. And he said, no, I'm into Buddhism. I said, really? How did you get into that? He said he grew up in church all his life. And he said some people were mean to him, so he quit going to church. But he was going through a tough time in his life, so he was just looking for something. And he said, Buddhism seems to, you know, kind of give me some hope and, you know, makes me feel good and stuff. So a friend told me about it. So 6 months ago, I got into Buddhism. I said, wow. I said, like, where do you go to do that? And he said, well, I'll go up to Bloomington. I go to this place, but I can't go up there all the time. So I stay at home and I do my, he talked about all the different, I can't remember the terminology he was using, but with Buddhism, the stuff that, the things that he does. And he goes, so far, I think it's working for me. I said, really? I said, so what does that do? What does it do for like you after you pass from this earth? Because I said, we all have to die someday. Like, what is Buddhism going to do for you when you leave here? Like, is there a place you get to go with Buddhism? Like, what is it? What does Buddhism teach you? And man, he started sweating. I mean, he was not sweating at all when I started talking to him. And all of a sudden, he just started sweating like crazy. I could tell he got very uncomfortable. Not that he wanted to end the conversation, but it came over him of how serious it was. And he just looked at me and he just said, he didn't have an answer for me. And I said, man, I think that's pretty important than feeling good right now, don't you think? I'm like, I'd rather feel good for my eternity and what I'm doing after this short little life. I'm like, you don't even know you can get in a car accident today and pass away. What is Buddhism going to do for you just feeling good about rubbing some beads and stuff? And he said, oh, man, I don't know. And he just was trying to figure it out. And I said, man, you know, the Bible gives, you grew up in church. You quit on church because of a person. I said, the Bible doesn't teach people to be mean. But guess what? People are mean. There's people out there. I was like, you mean to tell me you've never been mean to somebody? He said, yeah. I said, so you're basing your whole life, your whole eternity off someone that was mean to you and you gave up on God. You gave up on church. I said, man, God gave us a simple answer. And I said, you can have a lot happier life, I promise you, because I'm living it. And it's not because of me, how great I am. It's because I'm living a happy life because of him and what he's given me, what he's provided for me. I said, man, and no one was in the store, man, and so I was just, this is a great opportunity, and his boss called him over, hey, I need help, I need you to come over here, and he's just like, oh, I got to go. I say, can I come back? Can I talk to you later? He's like, yeah, sure, yeah, why don't you come back? I could tell his mind was spinning. I just threw that seed in there and watered it a little bit, and I'm hoping that someday, soon, that he'll understand his need for salvation. If you're here this morning, and you want a change in your life, you're looking for something, There is no better answer out there than Jesus Christ. There's no better answer. I promise you, you will never find an answer. These people that are wealthy, they're billionaires, why do they keep trying to make more and more and more money? Why? Because they can't find happiness. Why do they got to buy more and more and more? Why are wealthy celebrities committing suicide all the time? Why? Because they feel like they've done everything they can to find happiness, and they still haven't found it. And they're still miserable. Their families are a wreck. Their life is a wreck. They've got everything physically, but their life has fallen apart. People hate them. They don't have any good true friends. The only friends they have are because of the money that they have. They have nothing that is genuine because it's not from God. They've tried their own ways. Oh, you see them on TV and you go, oh man, the glitz, the glamour. Man, they have it all. Watch some documentaries on some of them, see what happens. Watch the life of Whitney Houston, one of the greatest singers our country has ever heard, and how miserable her life was. Ended. One of the greatest female voices that any of you have ever heard, that I've ever heard, one of the greatest voices, committed suicide because she was so miserable. Grew up going to church. Grew up singing Christian music. Grew up, knew who Jesus was, but decided to go the other way. You know what happened? Her daughter committed the exact same suicide as she did, died the same way. If you're searching for happiness through that way, good luck. Satan will cheer you on. Oh, he's going to throw it all out there in front of you. You got social media. Oh, he'll fill you up. Look at all this stuff. It's going to bring you happiness. Come on. And he's going to do everything he can to confuse your mind. They're going to bring all these religions out there that don't teach the Bible. They teach false hope, how you can get to heaven. Ask them, what does the Bible say about that? Well, the Book of Mormon actually. No. What does the Bible say? I want to know what Jesus said. Don't just show me one verse. Because I went to Blessed Hope Baptist Church and that guy read 40 verses to me and showed me what the Bible says. Don't just pull out one verse. I want to know what the Bible says, but based upon what you believe. They can't answer you from the Bible. You know why? Because it's what someone else made up. It's not what God told them. It's not what God told you and me. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's going to be a change in your life. I heard a guy in our church in California, he said, man, even the cat noticed a change in her life. I used to come home drunk all the time and kick the cat off the porch. Now I come home and I'm petting the cat all the time. Even the cat knows. Hey, the cat, the dog, the wife, the kids, the neighbors, everybody says she had changed in your life when you get saved. Because there is a change that happens because somebody is living inside of you and his name is Jesus Christ. A man back in the late 1700s, his mom taught him scripture verses, Christian songs, and she passed away when he was 7 years old. He went on to go to boarding school and graduated and started to become very successful financially. And he started falling deeper and deeper into sin. His life wasn't going the way that his mom would have wanted it to go for him from the things that she taught him. But his life started slipping away, and he joined the British Navy. And during that, he got captured by another country. And 2 days into that, he thought and almost decided to commit suicide that day because of how miserable his life was. But he decided not to, and he got rescued. But then he didn't go back to his mom's ways. He came back and was rescued and decided to be a part of the slave industry and financially invested into it and became a captain of a ship for slaves. Terrible industry to be a part of. That was what he decided to do with his life. One day, a massive storm came unexpectedly upon his ship to where everybody on that ship thought they were going to die. Water was coming on board. Boards were cracking. So much water came in, they thought the ship was going to sink. And this man said, by the grace of God, God stepped in that day and saved my life, rescued me. And he said, that day, as that storm was roaring its head, he said, I remembered the verses that my mom taught me. And he said, I remember that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And he said, that day, he got saved. His name is John Newton. He went on to write a song that you may know called Amazing Grace. You can sing with me. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. It is said that on those ships with John Newton, with the slaves, that the slaves would hum songs, or they would even sing some songs. And it said that John Newton wrote down the words to the song Amazing Grace and used one of the tunes that they used to hum on his ship. To anywhere you go, if you go to the Library of Congress, you can go there and you can look up the song Amazing Grace. And anywhere it's authentically written, you'll see words by John Newton, melody by unknown. And I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, I want to see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Paul, and Timothy, and these great Christians. But when I get to heaven, man, I want to meet that slave named Unknown. What a great song. Over 250 years, that song has been going on strong, helping people in times of need, reminding themselves of amazing grace. Salvation, number six. I'm almost done. Salvation is a miracle. Salvation, we don't deserve it. I'm thankful it's a miracle. Salvation, the Bible says, and you hath he quickened, which means made alive. You hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. It is likened unto a blind man receiving sight. Newton wrote those words, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Man, I'm thankful for a Savior who created a miracle, came on earth, and suffered so that I can go to heaven. I needed a miracle. You needed a miracle. Everybody in this room needs Jesus. Everybody. And lastly this morning, I'll be done in a couple minutes. Salvation is a now matter. Salvation is a now matter. People are lost now. People need to be saved now. You need to be saved now. Not tomorrow, now. To put it off and delay is wrong. Paul said, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. An old legend tells of the time when Satan had a sale and he put a price tag on all of his tools. The sin of pride had a large price. And so do the sins of jealousy, gossip, and selfishness. Over in the corner, on the workbench, was one tool with the highest price of all, procrastination. When Satan was asked why the highest price was placed on procrastination, he replied, "It is my most effective and valuable tool." You see, when the demons of hell tell you, "You can't be saved," you look at the demons of hell and say, "I'm not going to hell." But when they tell you, "You don't need to do it now, you can do it tomorrow, you can wait," we seem to listen to that. We seem to procrastinate. You see, I brought a glove here this morning. I'm a golfer, so I brought a golfing glove. But a glove was made in the image of a hand. It's made in the image of a hand so that a hand with five fingers can fit inside of this glove. And with the hand, the glove is now useful. It has a purpose. But without the hand, it's lifeless, it's of no value to me if I didn't have a hand. And so is the same as we are created in the image of God. We were created in the image of God so that God could live inside of us, okay? And when he lives inside of us, we have a purpose. We are filled with his strength. We are filled with his power. There's a change in our life, but without God, we are dead spiritually. We are constantly looking for hope. And God said, "I've got the hope for you. I've got the answers. They're right here in Scripture. You came to church, a Blessed Hope Baptist Church that believes the Bible, that just reads it for what it is, doesn't try to make up their own beliefs, believes the Bible and how simple salvation is. That anybody in this room, I don't care what you've done or what you've been through in your life, you can accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now is the time. Don't wait till tomorrow. Do you know what tomorrow holds? You may have a calendar and you may have, oh yeah, I've got a doctor's appointment tomorrow. Oh, I go to work tomorrow. Are you guaranteed to do that tomorrow? No. You're not guaranteed to live past this service. You're not guaranteed. We have no idea what will happen to us. Things happen suddenly, quickly, in a moment's eye. Nobody gets to be prepared for that. You're going to wait? You're going to say, oh, I'm going to be patient on this. You heard what the Bible had to say. Today, please, we have many people here at Blessed Hill Baptist Church that can open up the Bible and show you. Here's some verses. Here's what you got to do. And take care of it this morning. It takes less than a couple minutes. I hope and pray that you don't walk out these doors without taking care of that. If that's something that you're unsettled about, you say, I think I'm 50% sure. There's either a yes or a no. 100% or 0%. There's no in between. God gave the answer. God said there's a door. You just got to go through it. You just got to receive His gift. Please, please, I beg you, don't leave here today without someone here showing you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I know I preached with urgency this morning about salvation, getting saved, but Lord, to me, it's important. It's the most important thing that ever happened in my life was the day that I got saved, Lord. And I know there's many in here that would say the same. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know for sure they're going to heaven, Lord, I pray that they would be convicted about it, Lord, and that you wouldn't let them rest until they take care of that. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You'd say, I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I remember that moment. I remember that day. Would you raise your hand? I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Good, you can put him down. Now, if you say, I don't know for sure. I heard the message this morning. I feel convicted, and that's something that I want to take care of. Nobody's looking this morning. Nobody's looking. You say, that's me. I want to make sure I take care of that this morning. I want to make sure that I take care of it now. I don't want to leave here without taking care of that. If that's you, say, I want to get saved today. Would you raise your hand? I don't know for sure. See a hand. Is there another hand? Someone else? Now's the time. Raise your hand if that's you. I don't want to wait any longer. Anybody else? Good. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand together. And as the piano begins to play, let's use this altar and pray for one another. Pray for those that we know that may not be saved. Pray that they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. If you know of somebody, treat it urgently and tell them about the gospel. Invite them to Easter so they can learn about the resurrected Savior and what He did for us. But if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I hope you have a hard time sleeping tonight. You may say, well, that's rude. I care about your soul. I don't care about how much sleep you get tonight. I care more about where you're going to heaven, whether or not you're going to heaven or hell. I truly don't want you or anybody else to go to that awful, awful place called hell. I pray that you accept Jesus' free gift of salvation.